you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 8 through 20. And so we're starting our Advent series today. And so basically, here's what we're going to be doing for our Advent series. We're going to be looking at various Christmas carols that we just love throughout the holiday season to sing. And we're going to look at where those carols are actually in Scripture and why we sing those carols. And so in some of the carols, we may look at a little bit of the history, but really we're going to look at their place in Scripture. But, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I feel there are some Christmas carols out there that are just kind of weird and confusing and don't make a lot of sense to me. Like, a lot of you may like the song Silent Night. Silent Night makes no sense to me whatsoever because it says it's all is calm and all is bright. And I just want to go to the author. Have you ever been to a birth before? It's all calm and it's all bright. Even after the epidural comes, it's still not all calm and all bright. It still is very chaotic in there. Or Away in a Manger. Here's what it says in Away in a Manger. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby waits, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Now, on the first night of your newborn being born, if a cow is in its face mooing, do you think that baby's not going to cry? Like, honestly, like, has that person ever been to a birth before or ever seen a newborn? Or the worst one of them all is We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Now, there's a third verse we hardly ever sing. And if you remember, what does that third verse say? Now bring me some figgy pudding. And then the next thing says, I won't leave until I get some. Now, I have two problems with that verse. One, what in the world is figgy pudding? And whatever it is, I'm pretty sure it's gross. And second, if you're demanding it so much that you're saying that you're not going to leave until you get some, like, you just need to get some new friends, because that's just absolutely rude to say that, and you probably just need some new friends. But today, we're going to look at a carol that is not confusing to me at all whatsoever, and it's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And so what we're going to do each week, we're going to sing the song right before my sermon, like we did today. And I want to challenge you, each week before I sing, it's going to be the song right, it's probably the third song that Mike sings, okay? Just focus on the words and what it's actually saying. Now, the word hark for us, it's not a word we use a lot today. I don't know of anybody who actually uses the word hark. And it's just a simple word that means listen. And so the writer of this carol is telling us to listen to what the Scripture is saying so that we don't miss it. And so the question is, well, what is he telling us to listen to in Scripture? Well, he's telling us to listen to what the angel said. And what this song is about is the message that the shepherds received from the angels that night. And the shepherds were the only one to actually see the angels at all. And there were some things what the shepherds saw that evening and heard that evening that this writer wants to make sure that we get. This song is written from the perspective of a shepherd. So it's like a shepherd is singing this to us today. And so what we see in this song is that this shepherd is overwhelmed by a lot of different things of what they witnessed and what they saw in the Christmas story. So read with me in Luke chapter 2, because that is where this carol is found in Scripture. It's Luke chapter 2, and I'm just going to read verses 8 through 20 with you today, okay? So start with me in verse chapter 8. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, the first thing I want to bring to you that I want you to know about this announcement is that the shepherd was probably the least likely person to receive this announcement. Basically, shepherds occupied the lowest class in Jewish society. They were basically the ultimate unskilled laborers. Shepherding was a job that they typically gave to kids. So if you were a shepherd later in your life, it was basically the ultimate life fail. People just didn't aspire to be a shepherd. Honestly, their testimony wasn't even used in a court of law because that's how lowly they thought of shepherds. And so their culture just really didn't think much of shepherds at all. And so they were pretty much, if there was a birth of a king or anything, they were probably the last ones to hear that announcement in that culture. But here the angels coming to the shepherds are important to us today because while Christians at Christmas time are joyful because they sing these songs and they have hope because of what Jesus has brought, sometimes it reminds people of how disappointing their life is. Sometimes Christmas time makes people feel alone. Everyone seems to go home to their family and friends, and maybe you stay at home alone, or maybe it reminds you of someone who used to be in your life that's no longer in your life anymore. Or maybe you've forgotten how dysfunctional or broken your family is when Christmas comes around. And for some of you, your holiday goal is just not have the cops called on your family during Christmas time. Listen, or maybe it's a time that you reflect to see, man, I have concerns about with my kids, I have concerns about my marriage, or maybe I have concerns about the lack of prospects that I have in marriage. But these shepherds came into the first Christmas not feeling like their lives were awesome, because if these were older guys, then they were probably told a lot of times that you had a major life fail. Maybe you are in the same place today, and you're the ones who the angels want to hear this message the most. So I want you to hark. I want you to listen to this message. So what did the angels proclaim to the shepherds that night? Here's what they said. Glory to God in the highest. You know, basically that means that God deserves the greatest praise for the birth of this baby. The greatest praise of all time, which is pretty remarkable when you begin to think about all that the angels had actually seen in their lifetime. They have been firsthand witnesses of creation, where God spoke a word, he said, let there be light, and boom, light and millions of galaxies appear just by God speaking them. Astronomers tell us that there are about 3 million trillion stars. And after a while, I can say numbers like that, but it doesn't have any effect to us because they all get jumbled together. What's the difference between a million and a trillion and a million trillion? Like, it just all gets jumbled up to us, and we don't see the magnitude of those numbers. Let me help you with those numbers, okay? 1 million seconds ago is a week and 4 days, okay? So that's 1 million seconds is a week and 4 days. 1 trillion seconds is 32,000 years ago. Or, not 32,000, yeah, 32,000 years. Yeah, I said that right, okay. 32,000 years. So that's the difference between a million seconds and a trillion seconds. Okay? The sun, which is one of those 3 million trillion stars, is not even really a big one compared to some of them, but it puts off the same amount of energy as a trillion megaton bombs. Now, here's this. That's enough energy to run our entire civilization for 500,000 years every second. That's how much energy the sun is putting off. Listen, the angels had seen all of that, but that's not what they said would give God the greatest praise and the greatest honor. The song says here, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. And the angels are saying, listen, the greatest glory that God has ever displayed is in the birth of this baby, for his decision to come for him to die for sinners, to come and take our place. 1 Peter says that the angels are amazed at the gospel and they long to look more deeply into things. Now think about that for a second. The angels who saw God create the entire universe and see his face every single day, they long to look more deeply and wonder into the gospel. the angels had seen God create with a word a million trillion stars, each putting power of a trillion megaton bombs every second. But they were more amazed at the mercy Jesus showed to rebellious sinners and his power to heal them. Listen, greater than the power that the sun pours out, the power that pours out of the sun is God's power to put our lives back together after sin has messed it up. You know, the song goes on to say, mild he lay his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the son of earth, born to give them second birth. The gospel is that you and I were doomed, and Jesus came to save us, to give us second birth. You know, you see, underneath all the religious, all the good, all the moral makeup, we're really just rebellious sinners. That's what we are at our core. And that may sound harsh, but look into your heart. Look deep down into you. Haven't we all assumed at most points in our lives that we know better than God and that we can call the shots in our lives and we're better at running our lives than God is? And we've preferred to make ourselves the center of our lives and not God's. We've trumped God's will over our will. And so I know it's popular today to see ourselves as basically good people with just some few weaknesses or just misunderstood people with hidden potential. But that's not what really the Bible says about us. It says that we are traitors of God under the curse of death. And there are only two ways that this curse can be resolved. Either we suffer eternally for our sin, which means that we're separated from God forever in a place called hell, or Jesus in his love absorbs that penalty in our place. The Creator dying for the created, and the angels cannot understand why Jesus would do that. And the song says, mild he lay his glory by, born that men no more may die. I know it's popular today to say, you know, God's kind of like this mountain that you can follow God however way you want to follow God, and we're all going to end up at the same point. But that's just not what the Bible says. Salvation is found in no one else, and there's no other name under heaven given among men that we can be saved. Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, there's not many roads that leads up to the mountain. There's only one road, and that one road is Jesus. You see, every other religion teaches you that you can ultimately save yourself. If you're good enough, if you do enough religious things, you can be saved. But Jesus taught that we couldn't save ourselves, so he saved us knowing that we couldn't save ourselves if we'll just receive him. I see it like this. If I can't swim and I'm out in the middle of the lake drowning and you're standing on the dock and if you have a lifesaver and an anvil and I yell out to you, hey, help me, and you look at down, it's like, well, which one do you want me to throw out, the anvil or the lifesaver? And if I say back, hey, it doesn't matter, just throw me one, I'm drowning here. Well, that makes no sense whatsoever because one can save me and one cannot. What you throw out to me ultimately matters to me because if you throw out the lifesaver, I can grab onto it, you can pull me in. If you throw me the anvil, it's going to make me sink even faster and deeper into the water. And that's the reality. It matters the story and the way of salvation because God has only made one way of salvation. So we want to send out the lifesaver that we know has eternal power that can actually save people from their sins. And religion says try harder and be better. But Jesus says, I did it for you. You can never do it yourself. Receive this as a gift. So the shepherds today are telling us to hark, to listen. This is your lifesaver. And the shepherds were amazed that this announcement was actually given to them. Now think about this. The shepherds had to be amazed at this, but they had actually a message to give to others now. They had to be questioning why God chose them. You know, we're the lowest of the lowest in our class of society. They don't even take our word as truthful in a court of law. I mean, their word was not even taken seriously. And they were a group of people who weren't even listened to in society. But we need to see that this message was also given to us. And we should be amazed that God gives us the responsibility also to tell others about this Savior. Look and see what they did again in verse 17. It says, when they had seen what they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. Think about this. The only ones who got to see the angels that night was who? The shepherds. Everybody else had to hear the announcement from who? The shepherds, right? The shepherds got the glory, the songs, and the angel, and everybody else got a smelly shepherd who was barely literate, you know? That would disappoint most people, because what would you prefer? I would prefer the angels and not a shepherd. But this is very important concept for us to understand about God. Throughout Scripture, God's primary way of speaking to people is through broken and flawed instruments like the shepherds. You see, the first time most people hear the gospel is from someone they know, either a family member or a friend. And let's be honest, if it's a family member or a friend, you know all of their flaws. That's why at times it's harder to share the gospel with a family member or a close friend than it is a total stranger, because those people know some junk about you, more than likely. You know, a lot of times maybe you came to faith because a family member or friend told you about the gospel. And at times you may have thought, God, why is my older brother, why is this friend telling me about this? I know what they've done to me in the past. There is no way I'm going to listen to them about the things of eternity, because I know what they had actually done to me in my past. They terrorized me. But God always uses broken messengers to tell the best story ever, that God became a man to save sinners like you and me. Or maybe you heard it from the first time from this annoying neighbor that's next door to you. And if you're my neighbor, I'm sorry. And all you can think is, listen, their kids are out of control. They just don't seem to have anything together. How are they supposed to know the mysteries of eternity? Well, at least they're giving you something that they can know. Listen, just because the messenger is flawed does not mean that the message is flawed. And that's what we have to understand. God chooses people like shepherds as his primary mouthpiece to tell the world about Jesus. And that is how the first Christmas came about, and that's how it is today. There's a famous story in the Old Testament, and it honestly is one of my favorite stories ever. It's about Balaam in Numbers 23, and literally this is my Christmas present to you this holiday season, because it's a fantastic story. So there's an enemy king named Balak. All right, and so he does not like Israel at all, and he feels threatened to Israel. So he wants to put a curse on Israel. So he finds basically this prophet he's like, hey, I'll pay you a lot of money if you will actually curse Israel. And so Balaam is not much of a conscientious prophet, so he's like, sure, I'll take it for that money, and I'll just curse Israel. So Balaam gets on his donkey and just starts to walk, go to Israel to put a curse on Israel. Well, God doesn't want this to happen. So what God does, he sends this angel to block him from actually getting to Israel. But the problem is that Balaam can't see the angel, but the donkey can see the angel. All right. So every time the angel appears, the donkey stops and kind of goes off the road a little bit. And Balaam's like, what are you doing? Why are you stopping and going off the road here? The first time he just kind of yells at his donkey, gets him back on track and goes. Well, the second time the angel appears and it blocks the donkey again, and he does the same thing. Well, Balaam just gets really irritated. He goes all Old Testament on his donkey and just starts to beat him. And so he beats the donkey, so he gets him back on track. Well, this happens a third time in the story, and the angel blocks the donkey, and the donkey goes off. And so Balaam starts to beat his donkey again. Well, in that moment, God opens up the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey talks to Balaam, and basically the donkey says, hey man, what have I done for you to beat me these three times? And that's the amazing part of the story, but the more amazing part of the story is that Balaam actually talked back to the donkey like this was a normal thing. Like, who does that? And so after that, Balaam understands what God is doing, and he reveals himself to it, and instead of putting a curse on Israel, he prophesies about a star in the birth of a child. And that's how the wise men knew to follow the star to get to Jesus. Now, here's the point that I want to make today. Listen, if God can use a donkey as an instrument to talk to someone, that he can take a flawed person like you to talk to your friends and family. And if Balaam was willing to talk to a donkey because God opened up the mouth of that donkey, then God will help you with your family and friends listen to you about the best story ever. And that's what we need to understand today. So the message to you from the shepherds and from me today, and from the person who maybe even invited you here today, is this: to hark, to listen, God has been pursuing you, speaking to you, trying to wake you up and draw you back to Himself. So you will just have to stop this season and just stop and listen. Will you let the rush of the Christmas and stress, just this Christmas season fade away just for a second? And would you just listen to what God is trying to tell us today? Put aside any objections that you have and just listen. Listen, the angels are not trying to tell you to try harder or just to be better. They're telling you that you're not good enough, but God is telling you that He is good enough and that He sent someone to do everything that you could not do. And He has done all the work for saving. All you have to do is to receive. You know, did you notice what happens in verse 20 and what the shepherds did when they had been with the angels? They had seen the manger and they had told other people about Jesus. It says in verse 20 this: the shepherds returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Listen, they worshiped. That's what they did. They came back. They had seen Jesus. They had told others. They had seen the angels. And what their natural response to that was just worship. So the next time that you hear this song, the next time that we sing this in our worship service, remember what Christ has done for us. And maybe it will spark a response of more worship to Jesus because of what He's done for us, reminding us that He came to be man in the form of man so that He could save us and we could be worshipers of Him. And let's worship and celebrate the birth of our Savior because what that means today. So listen to what the angels told them, that this was the greatest thing that God had ever done. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill to men. That God sent Jesus was the most amazing thing that the angels had ever seen in their life. And that should bring amazement to us also and create worship for us and to tell other people about Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. And Lord, we thank You for Jesus and Him coming, Father. We just pray that through all of this, Father, Lord, it just creates worship to Jesus for what He's done for us. And Lord, we just pray that during this Advent season, it's been an absolute crazy year, Father. There may be some here that entered this season jobless. They're worried about their families. They don't know how things are going to end. And there's just been so much chaos and just stress throughout this season. Lord, I just pray that during the season that we look to You, we look to Christ, and we put aside all the stress and the crazy of 2020. And Father, we just focus on what Jesus has done for us, that He became man so that we could be saved. And He died for sinners like us. Let that be our focus this Christmas. And we ask this in Your name. Amen.